Oh, happy Mother's Day. Happy, happy Mother's Day. Does anybody have a mom out there that they love? Anyone? Absolutely. I tell you, I happen to be very blessed because I was raised in a household with a loving, godly mother, and I get to be a partner with now in a household with a loving, godly mother. So I have never known anything but loving godly mothers my entire life. And I am so thankful for that. I remember as a child, if you guys can place yourselves back in that childhood mindset, you know, love my dad to death, love my dad to death. But if anybody's ever seen me on the ball field, I'm not the most loving, kind, comforting dad. One of my greatest things, little Jacob's got a coach this year. One of my best friends in the world, Tom Grizzard, and he goes out and one of the kids swings the bat and he busts his knuckles in the game, right? And Tom does exactly what I do and like most of you dads would do. He literally goes up to the kid, looks at the knuckles, he grabs some dirt off the ground, rubs it on him, and says, "All right, man up, go to first." Us dads are kind of like that, right? We know when we go to dad, we may get some things that we want, but when we go to mom, we've got the comfort and the love and the security. When I was hurting and I thought I may need stitches, I didn't go to dad. He may pull out the alcohol and super glue. I go to mom because she's got the kisses and the love and the comfort. I knew where to go. Well, as I was thinking about one of the reasons that we feel so secure in going to our mothers or going to our parents in certain situations, I could guarantee if I needed knowledge, if I needed to know how to do something, if I needed to figure something out, my dad was going to be there all the time. But if I needed to know that I felt secured and loved and cared for in really hard times, my mom was usually the place to go. And here in this society, though, we're kind of stepping away from those sort of things to where we don't know who and what to trust. As a matter of fact, when we everything that we've been taught growing up, if we're a good, godly household, when we step out of that household, all of a sudden we have to start battling and attacking things that are attacking us. The things that we were told as kids is right. The things that we were raised up in, we have to battle. And all of a sudden we get in these situations and we realize in our jobs, in our relationships with people, sometimes in our homes, in school, it seems like sometimes everybody's just trying to get whatever they can and they'll use any means necessary. And the next thing you know, you don't know who or what to trust. Has anybody ever been there where you've been told something and told something and told something? And every time you get told something, you really get excited. I've been in that stage for a while. If anybody ever had this place at work, I constantly get told that something's going to happen and something's going to happen. And right when it comes time, it doesn't happen. And then I wait a year and they throw a little more out there and it doesn't happen. And now I've gotten to the point whenever they say something, I'm like, yeah, I can almost guarantee the opposite's going to happen and I don't know who or what to trust. I don't know where to go. When somebody says something, I can almost count that won't happen. Well, how do we raise children up? How do we get into a situation with ourselves where we can trust knowledge that is given to us? See, that's one of the hardest things for non-believers to understand is that there is somebody that loves us enough that when their promises are made and they are good enough that they can't stray from them. That is something as humans that we cannot understand unless we know God. It just won't happen. I'm here to tell you as your pastor, there will be a day, I promise you, if it hasn't already happened, where I myself, this flesh, will fail you. It's going to happen. How do I know that's going to happen? I've got wife and kids of my own that I love beyond everything, and I fail them regularly. So if I can fail my own wife and kids, I can fail each and every one of you. And that's not my goal, but it is just sometimes what happens. However, knowing something that is greater, knowing God, that changes our aspect of what we need to try to be, try to do, try to act, try to imitate, because God does not lie. When he makes a statement, he fulfills it. We'll go through a little bit farther here in the book of Hebrews. As the writer of Hebrews goes through, like I said, definitely there is some mixed ideas on who the writer is. Like I said, Ralton and I think lean more a little bit more towards Apollo. Some of you guys have Paul as the guy. Definitely somebody that's tied in with Pauline doctrine, right, that has had that study that we're going through. This sounds a lot like him, so I'll make some references here today. But as he goes through, we've got a group of people, the Hebrew people that he's talking about, that are constantly being deceived and lied and saying that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, trying to pull them from that. And now the writer of Hebrews, after making some statements last week, once again, thank you, Elijah, for going through that message last week. Now he comes in and gives us a promise, a hope, a knowledge of God's word. So if we go into Hebrews chapter 6 and we start at verse 13, some of you guys will open your Bibles and you'll see the title here, the inheriting the promise. As we read through here, this is not the type of promise. You guys remember as a kid, I was terrible to my friends like this. I'd say, "Man, I promise that I won't do this." And everybody's like, "Krill, I know you. You're going to do this." I remember telling my buddy Luke, we were at the beach for our senior trip. Some of you guys graduating, is there any plans for senior trips? No plans for senior trips? Graduating college, any plans for senior trips? No. Okay, when I graduated college, we had plans to go to the trip to the bank and see if we had any money left. So we planned that, and hey, we had a couple bucks. I think we celebrated with some fast food or something, you know. Still banking on mom and dad to pay for the fast food, but yeah. So I remember going on this trip, this senior trip, and some of my buddies, Elijah and Luke being here, were great friends. And we went out to the beach, and I laid there all day and fell asleep. And instead of waking me up, they said, "Well, Kirill's asleep. We're going to walk up here to the shop and leave him for like 4 hours." And I was exhausted, so I laid there on my stomach asleep on the beach for 4 hours and did not turn over. And when I got up, it was like somebody had super glued hot coals on my back. And I could barely move, and the pain was immense. And I went in and I said to Lake, "Can I get some lotion for my back, something that will help ease the pain?" And the lady said, "Yeah, this stuff works great. The problem is, some of you skinny guys, Caleb can probably do it. When you guys are built more like the Michelin man, it's hard to rub lotion on your entire back." I didn't have my wife at the time. We hadn't even met, but I had some good buddies there. And I handed the lotion around to my buddies and said, "Somebody please rub this on my back." And they said, "There is no way we're rubbing that on your back. It's just not going to happen." So I said, I promise I will not tell anybody or make fun of you for rubbing this lotion on my back. And Luke's the guy that you usually can talk into anything. Elijah does this. If you've ever seen this hand, like, I'm out. You can promise all day. Luke grabs lotion and he does the man putting on lotion rub. You know, you put a bunch of it on and you. He puts it on my back, and as soon as I feel that my entire back is covered in the lotion, I immediately jump up. I was like, oh, I can't believe you did that. Oh, man, I'm telling everybody. He said, I knew you would do that. And in turn, growing up, when we'd have those funny situations, and yes, I did still tell the story today, Luke has rubbed my back down with lotion before. That Luke Hall right there, he did it. I broke a promise a long time ago, but it's been broke, so. Still to this day, my friends, when I say in terrible situations that may be funny, I promise I won't tell everybody. Now they're like, nah. However, that's how society deals with us, right? We can be promised and promised and promised, and society tells us, I want the best for you. I wanted you to grow. I want you to have knowledge. And then whenever it benefits them to lie and to get outside of it, well, we're just in the wind. Well, I would have done it, but I meant to tell you the truth, but. And we have this same situation where now, how do we even go into churches and the same people that hurt us each and every day that say something, maybe my dad lied to me, my Sunday school teacher said they were bringing something, they were going to bring snow cones and they didn't. They said I was going to be able to do this and it didn't happen. My preacher said he would be there, but he couldn't get there. When we get in those situations, now we have this hard time of learning truth, and these Hebrews are going through that same thing. They don't know what to believe. They know that they'll be told whatever, but the writer of Hebrews says there is somebody that stands firm. God stands firm. So let's read in Hebrews chapter 6, starting verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself, I will indeed bless you, and I will greatly multiply you. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and for them, a confirming oath ends every dispute. Because God wanted to show his unchangeable purpose even more clearly to the heirs of the promise, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Jesus has entered there on our behalf as a forerunner, because he has become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Man, as I read these words, I can just imagine earlier in my youth, and even sometimes today when you get in those hard times where you just wonder what's going to happen, you're struggling with life. God, you said that you would bless us. God, you said you would be there for us. God, you said you would love us, and I can't see you right now. I don't know what to do right now. He calls for us to be faithful and to have hope in Jesus Christ. To be faithful. As a matter of fact, when we start here in the beginning of this passage in verse 13, he references another piece of scripture. If you go to Genesis chapter 22 and you start reading a story, you start figuring out a little bit about what he's talking about. As a matter of fact, whenever we get into verse 14, it says, I will indeed bless you and I will greatly multiply you. The writer of Hebrews is sitting here and quoting Genesis 22, verse 17. Let's read that verse. It says, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the city gates of their enemies. This is a promise to Abraham. This is God's promise to Abraham that if you are faithful, this is what I'm going to do. Here's the greatest part. Because Abraham was faithful in what he did when he was willing to give his son up, he blessed him beyond. And we are here today still reaping those blessings. We are still here being multiplied, able to share in the gospel, able to share in God's purpose. When he makes this reference, we all say, well, what did Abraham that did? What did he do that was so great? Well, starting in the beginning of 22, we start reading about a story that every single one of us has heard before. But I want to read it to you. It said, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So Abraham got up early in the morning. It did not say that Abraham argued. It did not say that Abraham just passed up. It didn't say Abraham thought about it and said, this isn't the best for my life. God, I know you want me to do this. God, I know you're seeking for me to do this. God, I know you want me to promise this, but it doesn't benefit me in this situation, so I'm going to walk away. It doesn't say any of that. He said, God speaks. He says, here I am. He says, go give me your son, the one that you've been praying for, the one that I blessed you with, the one that I promised you that you would have. Give him back to me. Don't just go get him. Give him as a burnt offering to me. Slay him, sacrifice him, place him there. Give him to me. Whew. Abraham says, okay, there's a word there. That word is faith. When we have faith in God's plan for our lives, we know without a doubt that in the end, we will have the promise and the hope in Jesus Christ and everlasting life. We know that. We know that God's plan is there for our good. And even in this situation that makes no sense on a human level, makes no sense to us as parents, why would you want me to give up my son? God says, go do it. Here's the other great part. This is an exact lineup of what Jesus was given for us for. God didn't ask Abraham to go do something that he hadn't already started preparing for him to do for us. He knew he was going to give his son for us. He just said, Abraham, go do it. So Abraham got up early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and took him with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for the burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him. He didn't ask somebody else to saddle the donkeys. He didn't ask anybody else to set the wood, to split the wood. He didn't ask anybody else to go do what he had to do. He didn't say, just go let it be done and get it out of my sight. He himself split the very wood that was set to burn his son. He himself saddled the animal that would carry the wood and carry his son to the place to be sacrificed. He himself gathered the ropes. He himself gathered the knife. It doesn't say he grumbled. It doesn't just say, just let it be done as long as I don't see it. He faithfully did it. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship, and then we'll come back to you." Took me a minute to understand what exactly that meant. Took me a minute. Because as I look in this passage, I'm sitting here thinking of Abraham talking to his young men, and there I think he has such a knowledge in God's love and promise to him that he was going to multiply through his son, that he says, "You guys stay here. We are going to go worship." And he doesn't say, "And then I'll come back to you." He doesn't lie to his servants. He said, "We will come back to you." Now, a lot of you can think, well, he just knew. He just knew that God wasn't going to ask him to do that. Isn't that faith? Isn't that unbelievable faith? But yet, he was willing to do it because God knew he was willing to do it. He went up, and that act of worship in his mind could have been slaying and giving his son as an offering, or it could have been praising God or whatever it was, but he was going to go and worship God through whatever means God set forth. And he told his servants, "We will come back to you." He knew God had something planned. He knew God was in the presence there. He knew that when God asks us to do something difficult, that God stands by us. When he tells us everything's going to be okay, when the Hebrews are sitting there wondering, are we going to be killed in certain areas of the world? Are we going to be placed in jail? Are we not going to be able to be a part of society? Nobody wants to be here with us. Nobody cares for us. Everybody says we're wrong. We look crazy. All my plans are astray. The Hebrews were sitting there, the writer of Hebrews was sitting there and say, know that God has a promise and a purpose for you in the same way that he did for Abraham. And let me tell you how the rest of that story goes. Abraham goes up, and as he is beginning to plunge his knife into his son, God halts everything and says, I have something better than what you can offer here. I have something more than you can offer. But your faith and willingness to come to me and to do what I ask, I have given you a ram to sacrifice instead. Let me tell you, when we have faith, God promises us that not even death can touch us. And why? Because he placed his son there for us in any situation that we have. He sacrificed his own son for us. He didn't call for Abraham to sacrifice him for us. He just wanted to know, are we willing to do whatever it takes to have faith in God's promise? Here's the thing that I was thinking about in every situation. We try to lean on ourselves, but God says, lean on him. Don't for a second think that even in situations like Moses parting the Great Sea, Moses did not part the seas. God parted them through Moses. Don't think that a preacher comes up here and speaks his word. It's God speaking his word through us. When we do something good, it's God living through us, breathing through us. We have life not because a mother and a father got together. We have life in us because God breathed life into us. We can't make our way into heaven without God first giving us his son to bridge the gap. We can't do anything without God first loving us and fulfilling his promises in us first. So we have the writer of Hebrews go on. He says, just know in this situation with Abraham, you know that he is still multiplying Abraham's offspring. Today, I'm here to tell you he is still multiplying the offspring of Abraham because Abraham's faith relied on God. He will multiply your generations if we faithfully follow him. If we faithfully place God in our households, if we faithfully know that He does not break oaths, as for the people swear by something greater than themselves, and for them confirming oath ends every dispute. Same way we go to courtrooms and we place our hands on the Bible because this is God's word and it's something greater than we are that we can't, but placing our hands and placing that oath on something that's greater than us should tell people, even though it doesn't now, that our oaths aren't always truthful, should, and in this time frame, would have stated what I'm saying is going to be the absolute truth. And when they would swear these oaths, and everybody would take them in as truth and knowledge. So now we go into a situation, and we have God giving an oath, and it says, for people swear by something greater than themselves, and for them confirming oath into every dispute, because God wanted to show His unchangeable purpose even more clearly to the heirs of the promise. He guaranteed it with an oath, so that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us. God gave an oath on Himself. There is nothing greater. As a matter of fact, one commentator that I was reading stated that when God makes a pledge on Himself, He cannot. It is not possible to lie. It is not impossible for God, or it is impossible for God to lie. And why is it impossible? Because God's word is truth. Whatever He says is truth. It doesn't matter what you think. 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 God's word is the truth. And we have to get out of this mindset that we can tell Him like our own feelings and emotions matter when it comes to coming to truth. We have to get out of that mindset and say, God, it is not my desires, but Your will. Whatever You set forth, that is what I'm going to take as truth. Not whatever I want to have, not whatever I think I can fight for, but whatever You say. Because God cannot lie, because He cannot speak anything but truth, because He is truth. And then we have this word oath, and I said we reference back to Paul quite a few times. But this word oath here, Paul uses it several times in his writings, and I'm going to reference it. The same word in the Greek can be uses arabon, and that word right there can also be translated and be used in a situation that kind of goes into the thought process of a wedding ring. Right? Something that seals the deal with us, that we know there is truth. And that wedding ring, whenever we have that wedding ring on our finger, it reminds us of the never-ending promise that we give to our spouse. That we are going to love them, that we are going to be there for them, that we are going to encourage them in the good and the bad times. Well, I'm here to tell you that whenever we have that truth, that oath that is given to us, we have our own wedding ring. We have God's word given to us directly, and you have the ability to carry this with you every single place that you go. That when you look at the words written in your Bible, that is the truth, that is the knowledge, that is the bond, that is the guarantee between you and God. This is the wedding ring. This is the covenant that is given to us, is written down in this. When we read John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was God, or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. When we go through, we know that this is God's written Word. We know this is His promise and His plan for our lives. We go through and He says, as we know this, that God was with us, that we know His promises, we know He has given an oath to Abraham, and that oath follows through generations. The only thing that we have left is to have the knowledge and the faith in Christ and to have him as that anchor, it says, that holds us there. That anchor of hope that holds us there. That knowledge that even when we're walking to the mountain where we give the greatest sacrifices in the way that Abraham has, that God still has us in his plan. That God still holds us. That God is still with us. And he holds firm to us. And he doesn't allow us to just be carried to and fro. He does not allow that. He keeps us. Even in the middle of a storm, if you were out in the middle of the ocean and you had an anchor that was holding you there, you can have the knowledge that you are going to be exactly where you're going to be if you have faith in the anchor. And there is no greater anchor, no greater place to put our faith than in Jesus Christ. And it says that because one thing that we know is we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Jesus has entered there on our behalf. He's telling these writers, the Hebrews here, the writer's telling them, says, you think that you still have to stay out of that inner sanctuary, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus gave us the path to have a direct relationship with God. We don't have to worry on another priest. We don't have to worry about another sacrifice. What we have to worry about is, do we have a relationship with Jesus? He tore the curtain. He was the forerunner for us. He gave us the bridge to have a relationship with God. Not just an observance. Not just being able to, hey, I'm going to do all these things and hopefully one day God will do something to get me into a situation that's better. No, he's saying, come into a relationship because I have already sacrificed for you. Come here. Come into my presence. Have faith in me. Know that my word is truth. Know that when I promise that I can't lie. Know that when I tell you, even in the heartache and the pain, even whenever you pull up to that mountain that you know you have to climb, that you know at the top of that mountain there could be death and hurt and pain and sorrow. Even when you think you've lost everything in this world, realize that this world, it was not meant for us. That we were supposed to be in a relationship with God, and sin has separated us from that relationship. And the only way to enter back into that relationship with God is through his son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I can tell you this, it doesn't matter what everything else in this world leads up to. It doesn't matter what your professors in college or even your parents or your bosses or whatever situation, it doesn't matter how many times they've let you down. God is firm and faithful. He does not lie. He is secure in his word. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for loving us and being with us. I ask that even in the times that we struggle to trust anybody, Lord, that we can trust you, that you give us the knowledge and the ability to trust you, to put faith in you and you alone, Lord. I thank you for the writer of Hebrews writing down this promise after all of the lies that have been set forth to these Hebrew people, that they have been tried to be pulled away from God, that Lord, that this writer stood up firm and says the only person that you can trust is God. The only person that you can trust is there for us in any situation, to the point that he sent his son there to climb up on that tree to pour out his blood for us, to pour out his life for us, so that we don't have to just observe you from outside the room, but that we can enter into your presence and not just be observed, but can be comforted and loved and embraced. Lord, I just ask that if anybody here today doesn't know you in that intimate way, doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, that you give them the ability, to give them the knowledge, to be able to put everything else aside and to live for you. Lord, I thank you for those mothers on this Mother's Day that have brought their kids into a place that preaches the truth. They have opened up those Bibles and they have taught the truth. Lord, that they have sent their kids and pointed their kids not to themselves. They didn't say, look in the mirror and you figure it out. They didn't rub some dirt on it. No, Lord, they sent them to you and said, if you trust anything, know that the only thing we can trust is God. Thank you, and I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.